Now, as for, I don't have a sermon prepared. Those of you who know me, I usually have somewhere between 12 and 15 pages. Today it's three. But just some thoughts about where we are. You can take to the first slide in the sermon set, and then I will control it from there so you don't have to worry about it. Let me just take you back to the, each year I do a theme for my preaching series. I am a planner. I mean, the Holy Spirit works through spontaneity, but the Holy Spirit also works through planning. I mean, which after all is more supernatural, when God speaks to you something in the moment and you do it and you realize that was God, or when God speaks to you days, weeks, even months or years ahead of time about what he wants to do in a particular moment that hasn't even happened yet? You know, I mean, both are supernatural, spontaneity and planning. I happen to be a planner, and each year I ask God for a theme, and then I plan according to that theme, the preaching series, and then just kind of let God speak through that. So in 2020, the first year that I was officially pastor here, I had a theme which was called Seeing Spiritually, 2020 Vision, Seeing Spiritually, a little play on words there. And then in 2021, it was Redeeming the Time. And then 2022, the words the Lord were giving me was Begin Again, and we talked about that. 2023 was Life in the Spirit, but it wasn't just about the Holy Spirit. It was really about this idea of living both in natural reality and also in spiritual reality. The questions I began 2023 with was, how do we live in both realities at once? How do we facilitate this connection of heaven and earth? I mean, we want this church, we want this place to be a place where when people walk in here, they're like, this isn't just life as usual. This isn't just business as usual, but we are connecting with another reality here. We're connecting with something supernatural that God is doing in this world and doing it through us. And then that brings out the question that how do we live out the mission and the purpose of God's people as the church? And we went through 1 Corinthians, and that was a pleasure for me, just not just thinking about, I called it the Spirit-filled church, but not just thinking about how we act as a body of Christ in the Spirit, but how we facilitate this connection between supernatural reality and our earthly reality. And I think the Corinthian church really did that and represented that. We also went through the minor prophet Zechariah, and I had never done a study on Zechariah before, but I mean, just such rich depths, and Zechariah is one of the most quoted books in the New Testament, and especially in Revelation, and he has a lot to say, not only about end times, but also about God's reality and how it inhabits this earth. So this phrase began turning in my mind. Now, already, I was only a couple of months into 2023 when my mind started going to 2024. That's just how my mind works. I'm always looking long range. And this phrase was coming to my mind, possessing the land. Now, when I was in Bible school, way back in the 80s, we actually had a class that was called Possessing the Land, and there was a textbook written by a guy by the name of Carol Thompson, who was a professor. I went to Christ for the Nations in Stony Brook, Long Island. Carol Thompson was a professor at the main school in Dallas. That's one part of my conversation with Daryl and Joyce is Daryl and Joyce actually had Carol Thompson as a professor in Dallas and went through that book. Anyway, that was our discipleship training book. at Christ for the Nations. Possessing the land carried this connotation of, you know, you have this whole promised land before you. You have this whole life in Christ. You have this whole thing that God has purposed for you. Now, how do you go and do it? How do you actually walk into that? How do you possess that land? You know, kind of like this guy, you know, standing on the peak of a mountain, surveying the mountains in front of him. You know, you can kind of get a lay of the land from up there, but at some point you've got to go down and enter into it. What does that look like? I mean, where I stand right now, 4 years ago, I was asked to come and to lead this church. Now, when Kurt Malizzi sent me here, his specific words to me, I want you to go and give vision to this church. That was what he asked me to do. And at that point, you remember, we were, what, maybe 25 people at that point, and it was kind of a rough time, and wondering, what does it even look like from here? So we got together, and we began talking. We began telling the stories of the church. We began exploring, you know, who has this church been in the past? What has God's call been on this church? And what does that translate into for the future? And then a year or so later, began to articulate, encounter God's transforming love, process steps, respond, restore, release, relate. Began to talk about how we implement that. We preached through our basic beliefs as a church and where we go and so forth. And as I stand right now, you know, when people ask me how are things going at the church, I'm like, you know what? We're poised and ready. We have a good, solid church here, very viable for this community. We're positioned. We are ready to do something. You know, the only thing is, I just kind of wonder, you know, well, where is the growth? And part of that is because, like I said, I'm always looking ahead. I am impatient. I don't know if you know that about me, but that is part of my personality. I am impatient. I always want to be on to the next thing. That's kind of how I am. And I realize that part of my struggle is my impatience. Carrie had some words of wisdom for me when I was reflecting on this with her. She says, you know, Joel, she says, when you look at it, most of the growth that you're looking for is happening, but it's happening outside the church. Remember the Mazones that were attending during during COVID? I'm still walking with them as a mentor, and they're serving in another church, and they're preparing for church planting at the same time. But I'm still walking with them as a mentor. So guess what? Their fruit is our fruit. Isn't that cool? Sonny and Jeff that we sent out last year, they're leading an English ministry in a Korean church with a view towards helping that church become multicultural. And they are in the city, in Philadelphia. And that English ministry is growing, and people are coming to Christ in that group and being discipled. And guess what? Their fruit is our fruit. We're just at the beginning of having conversations with Sean and Marissa and things that God has laid on their heart, but I know that their vision is a lot bigger than these four walls can handle. And guess what? As that moves forward, their fruit is our fruit. Isn't that cool? That's how the kingdom of God works. That's how possessing the land works. When Ken Eberle was here in July, and I appreciate Ken as a father in the faith. I mean, whenever he speaks here, and I actually have him on the calendar already again for June. Whenever he speaks, I feel like, you know, it's E.F. Hutton. you want to listen, right? Because here's some good advice. When Ken was speaking, this theme was already starting to turn over in my head, and then Ken kind of nailed it with some things that he was saying. He said in his message that Joshua is symbolic of establishing the kingdom of God on this earth. And my thoughts went to Numbers 33:53, where Moses said, you want to just advance that slide, it's not advancing for me. Numbers 33:53. And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess it. And who did that? That was Joshua, actually went in and possessed it. And again, in Deuteronomy 2:31, the Lord said to me, behold, I have given you Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to take possession that you may occupy his land. And that was the message given to Moses and to Joshua. You know, just like you're standing there looking out over this, okay, there it is, there's the layout of the land, now go and do it. Go and begin to occupy that land. You know, we in the United States, you know, we have land ownership laws. You know, we actually have a deed, and this from this pin to this pin to this pin belongs to you. You know, most of time and most of the world has not been like that. You know, you what belongs to you is whatever you can occupy, whatever you can inhabit. It's still that way in India. Friends of mine experienced that. They almost lost some family land that they had owned for years and years. Why? Because they weren't living there. They weren't actually occupying the land. So some other people wanted to claim it. That's kind of how it is for us as believers, you know. We have this picture of how God wants us to live, where God wants us to be, but until we're actually doing it, until we actually occupy it, we haven't possessed it. So that's kind of what I'm feeling as we go into this new year. It's like, I feel like I'm that guy standing there looking out over this land and saying, okay, I think we got the idea who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Now we just have to do it, right? 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's it. We just need to fight the good fight. We need to take hold of it. And actually, Jesus said this. He said, occupy until I come. It was in the context of the parable of the 10 servants. He gave them each 10 minas, and he said to them, the ESV says, engage in business until I come. That'll preach right there, because that's kind of where we are in the whole of world history. Jesus has given us the tools. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We are the Spirit-filled church connecting heaven and earth. And now he's like, well, now just do it. Engage, occupy, possess the land. So then that brings me to the question, you know, so where are we as a church? I've shared some of these thoughts already. Somebody asked in a conversation, this was with John and Sandy, but the feedback got back to me. Somebody asked them the question, is this church going anywhere? And I thought, you know what, that's a good question. I'm going to ponder that for a while. Is this church going anywhere? You know, when you get on the bus, there's a big sign on the front of the bus that tells you where the bus is going. And you can decide whether you want to get on or not. When people walk in here, do they know where we're going? Is it that obvious? I want us to work on that this year. I had another couple that was visiting our church. I had breakfast with the husband, and they may or may not show up here in the future. They haven't quite made up their mind, but he made this comment, and this stuck with me. They have been involved in a church that is kind of in the mega church category, and he's like, they have just so many programs. Well, we don't have a lot of programs, at least not yet. I'm not sure if we want to get that programmed or not, but he made this comment. He says, you know, coming from the church that we have been involved in to this church, he says, it's kind of like getting off a hamster wheel and slipping into a hot tub. You know, I mean, I had mixed emotions about that. I mean, on one hand, he's saying that our church is very warm and comfortable. But then it begins to make me wonder, are we too comfortable? I think something in between the hamster wheel and the hot tub would be good. Are we ready to be the people that God has created us to be? Are we ready for the people that God wants to send to us? Do we each know what our role is and what our assignments are? You know, that's part of what Joshua had to do before they could go into the promised land, is, you know, he had to organize things and make sure everybody knows their assignments. That's part of what I'm going to be doing with the leadership this year. As I'm going through my own evaluations, we're going to be nailing down some job descriptions and figuring that out. Paul also talked about possessing the land. Not so much the literal land of Israel as with Joshua, but his own inner life as being the territory that belongs to the kingdom of God. And if I had a theme verse for this whole year, it would be this, Philippians 3:12. And I like the way the New Living Translation puts it, because it actually uses the word possess. Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I like the way it was already shared this morning. A testimony doesn't mean you've already arrived. A testimony means you've moved. You know? He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Jesus Christ paid a very dear price for my life. Now, I need to pay the price to make it worth it. You get my meaning? I'm not saying that I wasn't worth it already. You know, I mean, obviously Jesus thought he was worth it. He paid the price for me. But now there was a purpose for that price, and it extends beyond me. Jesus isn't just interested in me. He's interested in the world through you and me. God's doing something in our world, and he wants us to take hold of it. And that's going to take courage. It's going to mean being very intentional about life in the Spirit and translating that into action. And I can't help but think it means going deeper in prayer and in relationship with God. And hopefully, it means living each moment of this coming year to its fullest. So here's some things for next year's preaching calendar, things I have planned for next year. First of all, we're going to begin in the book of Joshua. When I get back from vacation, I've already begun working on the next sermon series. It's in the book of Joshua. It's called Lessons in Courage. And we're going to be talking about some examples of courage and what that looks like. And then we're going to go, we did 1 Corinthians this last year, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And whereas 1 Corinthians was called the Spirit-filled church, 2 Corinthians I'm calling the church released. Let's see what that looks like. I'm going to do a summer series this year. And I haven't done this before. I'm still doing a few hot topics, but there's going to be a series right in the middle of summertime, enough to make you want to come to church, even when it's really, really nice outside, where we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, just line by line. Actually, Ken Eberle has agreed to kick that off on Father's Day, just looking at our Father in heaven, just looking at those words. And then the other thing I want to do this year is I want to take time to be in the moment, to celebrate holidays, seasons, and especially the Lord's feasts. A couple of years ago, we did a Purim party. We celebrated that. We're going to do that again this year. And we want to just enter into those times and be in the moment of what God is doing in those times. And speaking of being in the moment, Marissa, if you would come again. And Bruce and Cheryl are passing out communion this morning. Let's get ready to just spend a moment together celebrating God's life in us and through us and what he is doing in this moment and in this time. Marissa, could you just lead us in a song as they pass out communion, and let's just prepare our hearts to receive.